Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
RadioAFS.com. It's the show that educates and not eradicates. Welcome to The Beating Drum, the premier Native American radio show that is preserving and restoring positive Native imagery and sports in the American mainstream. Call in at 646-668-8467 to talk with your host, Barlin Steve.
What is going on? The Beating Drum on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. You got Farmer, you got Steve on a fabulous Friday night. What's going on? The Beating Drum again, just like that awesome voiceover said. Give us a call, 646-668-8467. Talk to our lovely phone screener and get on the air and talk with Steve and I. This is a shortened show. This is an hour show, so if you're going to call in, definitely want to call in early. Before Steve and I actually get into the meat and taters of things. Happy Friday, Steve.
What up?
And chilling like a villain, watching the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux play Boston College, the Terriers. It is in the second OT, so actually Boston just scored. 4-0, Boston 4-3. Boston University over the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux.
Oh, well. It happens.
It does. But, you know, Steve, I was going to say it's the curse of the stupid pigeon on the ice here.
I don't believe in curses.
It's just me being a loyal Sioux fan, and there's no need for a albino pigeon to be anywhere on the campus of the university.
I don't know, man. I wish I had something better to tell you.
Oh, I hear you. Know it's truly the pussification of the NCAA actually going out and trying to eradicate Native American imagery is what it is.
Somebody could go out there and hand paint it black and it could become a Blackhawk.
There you go. Never thought of that.
Just don't get caught.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, Steve, how was your week, my man?
Man, it was okay. It went by pretty fast, which is good. So today's my only day off. Tomorrow I start my week all over again, and it's probably going to be a long week. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, my man, I hear you there. Trust me, I feel your pain. For everyone that's listening to us, you can follow us on all different sorts of social media platforms. You can find us on Facebook. Just go in the search bar, type in the Beating Drum Radio Show. You'll see a nice banner of my ugly mug and Steve's ugly mug, and give us a like and follow our page, just like the about 120 people did this week. And thank you to every single one of you. You can also follow us on Twitter, same handle, just the Beating Drum Radio Show. Give us a like there, follow us. We're going to follow you. We talk, they talk. It's the great thing about social media. If you choose to do kind of the old school way, go on Google, Bing, Ask, Yahoo, or whichever other search engine you like to use. Type in the Beating Drum Radio Show, you can skip out the whole Pocahontas stuff, and you'll first find probably Blog Talk Radio. Radio AFS, give that a like, and it's going to ask you for your email, and it'll shoot you a message to let you know that Steve and myself are gracing you on the airwaves, Steve.
Absolutely. And my mug is not ugly. It's somewhere between ugly and pretty. I don't know what the in-between normal. I don't really have a clever word for it.
We will have to figure that one out, Steve.
Yeah. I'll work on that. That's my one thing I'm going to do this week.
Yeah, we definitely all have our plates full, and I want to congratulate you on your live feeds and everything else like that. It's they are taking over.
Which live feed?
You're a live feed on Tuesdays, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. That must be another guy.
Yeah, I know, right?
You sure you're not confusing me with Jim Rome?
No. I believe it's you on Tuesday nights. And, you know,
yeah.
if you haven't checked him out, man, you definitely need to check out Steve. He usually does them on Mondays, right, Steve?
Yeah, I wasn't able to this week. Monday was kind of a busy day, and I didn't get home till pretty late, and I was really, really tired. I just didn't have the energy.
Man, hey, at least you followed through with Tuesdays. So if you haven't seen a Steve's live feed, you're definitely missing out. He does a lot of information, and he always says they're going to be short. But this one was right around an hour, but it was still very informative. And very awesome, Steve.
Well, I always anticipate them being short, and I always say that very early on. Like, I'm going to try to keep it about 20, 30 minutes because based on what I plan to talk about, that's the amount of time that I'm going to give myself to go into. That's based on if I only had, like, one or two viewers, which I didn't have that. I had, like, 15 on Tuesday, and that's a lot. And they were asked questions. They were very involved and active, and I was trying to respond to every single one of their questions. So it actually drug out to be an hour because, you know, they had legitimate questions and concerns. What do I do here? What do we do about this? And you know what? I'm a talker. I'll give you guys answers. That's what I always tell people. If you have questions, ask. I'll answer. I'm not shy.
Yeah. Most definitely. That's what's nice about the beating drum, Steve. It's either you or me. You know, we're not just going to cut off at a certain time just because we say it's going to be short.
That's right. Hour well spent.
Yeah, most definitely. So, yeah, again, give us a call, 646-668-8467. Steve, we do have a few callers before we get into the bounty on Native American names and images there in Michigan. We're going to activate Diane from Napa. Diane, you are live with Farmer and Steve. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not doing too bad, thank you. And what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I was on Steve's show the other night, Tuesday, 21st. Found it interesting. We're trying to save our Napa High Indians. I was a mascot back when I was in high school there and never felt that I was disrespecting any Indians. Felt proud to be an Indian, matter of fact. So
yeah.
It just irritates me that after all these years they've decided, you know, the name Indian isn't good enough for us. And I'm afraid that if we follow this group that's trying to attack the Indians, that pretty soon people won't know about the Indians and their lives here.
Well, that's what I talked about on Tuesday, that's the end game.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Total eradication of the Native American history.
Right. We have
and
to get it back in
the
schools.
People don't believe it. Yeah, people think it's a joke. Like, that's not true. That can't happen. Yeah, it does happen.
No, it's no joke. Not at all. Seeing it happen.
So when you dressed up as a mascot, tell everybody what you what you dressed up as. What was your, you know, your I'm going to use the word costume, or if you want to say uniform. Or
it was an outfit. It was an outfit.
Yeah.
And there were two of us. My best friend and I, both girls, we had two different outfits. One was a male outfit and one was a female outfit, and we would switch off those outfits. The female had a bear head. I looked at the pictures I have. I can't see a feather, but for some reason I think there might have been one feather on that one, and then the male's was just a big head, and of course the female had a dress, and the male had shorts, and they were all out of burlap.
Nice.
Yeah. It
was
fun.
Cool if you could send that picture to us at some point so we could check that out or post it in the group so we can see it.
It's been kind of all over the net lately. I will try to do that.
It would be nice to see because I'm interested in what that looked like.
Okay.
I'm really, you know, really kind of intrigued.
I'm not necessarily the greatest with pictures. I can do almost anything else on the computer, but photographs I'm having trouble with. So I will do my best.
Not a problem. Sounds good.
All right, Diane. Is there anything else that you want to say to our beating drum family and friends?
That's about it. Just go out and sign the petition and meet in front of Napa High School, the old school, on April 6th at 6 o'clock.
All right, Diane. Thank you so much. I'm going to put you back in the loft. And
thank you.
You can listen to the rest of the show. And thank you for giving us a call.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care.
You too.
All right, Steve, it looks like we got another Napa caller. It looks like it's a 66 grad. We got Sharon live on the beating drum with Farmer and Steve. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing great, and we want to thank you so much for being behind this cause of ours. Very passionate about being a Napa High Indian, very proud of all the years. I'm a 50-plus alumni and have worked very hard with our centennial group, started the 60s decade reunions, have done our class reunions, and it's been nothing but respect. And you talk to any of the 60 grads or any of the grads, they're proud to be Napa High Indians. And it's just unbelievable that they could do this sort of thing. I mean, it just never occurred to me that somebody would want to take something away from us that was so loved and respected, you know. And I think maybe what got lost in this is when they changed the high school, the Indian head was no longer on the floor. So they didn't, from 73, 74 on, when they moved over to the newer high school next door, they didn't have the same traditions we had. And I think that that's kind of where some of the disregard from some of the Indian tribes comes to, that we don't respect it. But I don't believe that's true at all.
It's hard to say. I mean, it's really hard to say where exactly someone pegs the beginning of this, you know, where did this all originate from? And it just really depends on who you talk to. But, you know, I don't think that by the school moving it from the floor to, you know, putting it in a shadow box in a room to be observed or anything like that, I don't think that that should be looked at as, oh, we're disrespecting. I mean, if you take something and you know, because you had the symbol in the floor and you take it out and you had it preserved and put in a shadow box, that's pretty significant. So
well,
if someone can look at that and think, well, that's not a good thing, then they got mental problems.
But see, we grew up, when we went to the old Napa High, you knew you didn't walk on the Indian head. You walked around
right.
It. And that was a tradition that went on for many years. When it got moved over to the new high school on the wall, you know, they didn't have the same traditions as us old Napa High Indians had. And it was an empty space in the old building where there was nothing for quite a few years. And it was so important to our group as the 60s decade, when we had our first reunion and made enough money, we hired a Native American, actually, came in and repainted that down on the floor, a duplicate of the original that was there, so that tradition could go on. And naturally, that people were used to just walking in that space that had nothing for so many years, so that tradition kind of got lost in the mix, I believe. And, you know, I guess you could say, I can understand how they can say you're walking on this floor, that you're not respecting us. But I don't think it was the way it was ever intended to be or seem.
No, it's something other than that, because a lot of times when they say, they don't approve of the name, it's because you get people with very strong opinions who want to make a name for themselves. And what's the easiest way to do that? What's the way to easiest way to do that is by causing a scene and going to get something that's not mainstream. You get these people who come in to these schools, and we see it all the time. You know, they're not from that town. They're not from the area. They get elected into a position, principal, superintendent, whatever it may be. And they say, well, now I'm going to take this on and prove myself because they're appealing to a certain group of people. And that's what you have here. You know, you have a school committee, a board, a principal, whoever it may be in your school, that's appealing to the minority group, not the majority. And
that's
these,
why we, I think they don't realize how important this is to the Napa High alumni and how many, they forget our classes in the 60s range from 600 to 1,200 students a year. We are a big minority in that group. And I would say 95% are for keeping our symbol, logo, whatever you want to call it, our be proud of what we had. And I was listening to your caller about the Indian head mascot. I have a good picture. If I can find, we just moved back to Oregon, so some of my stuff is back. Of our mascot in the uniform with the full headdress. Nothing derogatory about it. Very proud to be there. I could probably get my girlfriend to email it to me. It just shows the pride we had in it, you know. I mean, I never once saw anybody or any person not being respectful to our Native Americans, our Indian family, as we can call it. So, I mean, I just want to make sure that everybody knows to be out on April the 6th. Come at 4 for our peaceful protest and be there at the to support and let the school board know that we're not going to allow this to happen. And they say there's with all the numbers, so if we have all the numbers of everybody that says they're going to be there, I hope that we prevail. And thank you so much for being behind us.
Well,
you're
Sharon,
welcome.
you're definitely welcome, and that's what the show is here for, and you know, it's to let other schools out there and to let people know that they're not alone, because when you're in this battle and you're fighting and you're fighting and you're fighting and all that you see are these not your mascot hate groups and everything else like that, and when you have a friendly person and friendly people come, you're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? So it's definitely a honor to be standing side by side with the Napa Indians.
Well, and I think that it really shows how the Napa High community comes together as a group in these things that we believe so badly and that we want to keep. I mean, I think we are losing enough traditions all over the world or all over our country that, you know, these are the things that if we keep losing these, what are our children and grandchildren going to have? They're not going to have any of this stuff, this loyalty that we have to our school. We just moved back to the Roseburg area, and I saw an article on Facebook just recently that they went through the same thing and won. And I thought Monday I would call the school district and see if there was somebody I could talk to.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ms. Sharon, we do have a Beating Drum affiliate person who's actually on staff who actually lives in Roseburg. So maybe that's something that we can get you and that particular person in contact with, because she's working due diligence in the Oregon area actually save the Native American icon symbols there in Oregon. So we will have to get everyone there in contact with you, with her, and see what else we can do there in the Oregon battleground.
That would be great. That would be great. If we could do it soon, because I travel back down to Napa on Tuesday, and I'm not back home until Friday, but I am here on Monday.
Not a problem. I will message you in the Facebook group.
Anything that we can do to further our cause, you know, we're hanging tough together, and it has been so gratifying to see how many people across our country has come together to
mm-hmm.
help our cause.
Most
so,
definitely, Sharon.
It's wonderful. Thank you again. Thank you for putting this on the air. And if you can get me that information, I would love to talk to them.
Most definitely. And Sharon, thank you so much for calling the show.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Well, Steve, again, that phone number is 646-668-8467. We have Terry from Napa. Terry, you're live with Farmer and Steve. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
No, my man, not doing too bad. Just here sitting in the studio talking with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, I was listening to the last caller, and one of the things that I think I might be able to help a little bit on that, at least it's my opinion of what I think happened, is when we were all going to Napa High in those early years. One time Napa High was only a two-year high school, and when I was going there, juniors and seniors. But you always looked forward to getting to Napa High because of the tradition that it had at Napa High. And I think that when you got there, the counselors, the coaches, and the teachers all told you about that tradition and the Indian and how important it was to respect that Indian and carry it on through the years that you were there. And the Indian head that was actually in the entry hall, my brother, who was 3 years ahead of me, he went to Napa High before me, and he let me know, don't step on the Indian because they'll milk you, clean it with a toothbrush. Well, the last thing I wanted to do was to clean that thing with a toothbrush. So you always walked around it. And when that Indian head, original Indian head, came out of that hallway, it was when they were trying to earthquake-proof that building. That building was empty because of earthquakes. So they pulled it out, and that's when it went into that shadow box down at the new school. And it probably would have been lost altogether except for the principal at that time was a Napa High graduate. And she's the one that spearheaded putting that Indian head back into that shadow box to where it was located today. And I think from that time to the current time is when people have forgotten about that because different administrators, different teachers, different coaches, although some coaches are still the same, have come in there, and it's kind of lost its pizzazz, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So I think that kind of explains a little bit of why people are the way they are on that. I look at political correctness as being one of the biggest problems with this thing. And political correctness is run amok, really. And some of the things that are done are done out of political correctness, and nothing would show you that political correctness has probably run its course more than what this year's presidential election did, because I think that was what if you talk to most people who voted in the election, they would tell you that political correctness has a lot to do with which way they voted.
And
yeah.
And Terry, I have to say that, you know, I've been dealing with the Native American images and names since I was in elementary school, because my elementary school lost its name, my junior high lost its name, and my high school lost its name. So I'm a firm believer in that social media has kind of blown this up, which is great for – not great. Don't misconstrue my words on that. But it allows people such as myself, Steve, and the Beating Drum staff to actually get out there and help these schools, because I can remember being in high school. I'm a proud graduate of the Grand Forks Central Redskins, and there was nobody there. There was no help. It was kind of rollover, and, well, we lost that type of thing. So it's awesome that Radio AFS has honored myself and Steve with the airwaves to help people and to help schools like the Napa Indians.
But on the other side of that, social media has made it easier and more accessible for people who think they're tough, think that they're big and 10 feet tall, to go out there and throw their opinions out there and stir up these problems. And a lot of this comes from people sitting at home with things to do, but go around and find things to nitpick over. And then they take to Twitter, they take to Facebook or whatever it is that they use. And they go, look at this school. They're called the Indians. They're a bunch of racists and bunch of bigots. We should protest and do something about this. And it's like, wait a minute. How old are you? You're 17. Then you don't know anything about the world. You haven't hit adulthood yet. Stop trying to take on adults. You know what? Sit back.
That's true. That's true.
Watch your Twilight or whatever it is that tweens watch nowadays and let the adults do adult things.
There's an actual factory here in the Bay Area that creates that too. It's called Cal Berkeley. And a professor will get a hold of some people and get them all wound up and send them out to look for a school or an organization to attack. It isn't always schools. It could be other things that they go after because they're using an Indian name, which they think is disrespecting, and it's not. You almost have to have been at Napa High School in those early years to really have it sink into you as hard as it has for this group that is talking about now. And you're right, social media has really been the battle that the people that have come in this last time to try to change the Indian name, that's the thing that they've had to battle most is social media, because it's gotten around through everybody through social media. You're able to get a hold of people who are no longer in Napa, may not see the newspaper articles that's going on about the Indian, and they can actually get a hold of their classmates, look for them on Facebook or whatever, and pass it around. Pretty soon you've got a whole crowd of people on your side. And,
correct.
And it's something that I think that is what a lot of these groups that come in and try to change that, they don't know that they're going to have to deal with that. They forget about that part of it. And when it hits them, they've been pretty silent here recently. I mean, when you look in the paper, you don't see a lot of articles in favor of changing the Indian as much as you do and not changing the Indian. And the one thing that they haven't talked about, which irritates me because I'm somewhat conservative, is they haven't talked anything about the amount of money it's going to cost to change it if they did. And if they were to bring that up, they would have a lot more people in the community that maybe didn't go to Napa High start asking the question, wait a minute, where are we going with this? Are we there to educate kids? Why are we there to change an Indian name? And we don't have any money to do it because you're going to have to change uniforms. I thought of something the other day because I was in the band, and I was a drummer in the band, and the one thing that they'd have to change is all the drum heads because it had an Indian on it. And they're not even thinking about that thing. It's not a lot of money, but there's several things that you would start running into when you start changing all these things that you have to change over, stationery, uniforms, and the like.
Yeah, a lot of people don't even consider exactly what goes into changing a name at a school. They think it's just, oh, we changed the name on the outside of the school and we remove the symbol on the basketball court. I'm like, there's way more to it. You got to think about uniforms for, you know, whatever athletic teams. You guys have your band uniforms. That has to be changed. What about the school football field billboard or the scoreboard? I mean, that had to be changed. Any kind of symbol or imagery across the school would have to be changed. You're talking about drum heads. That's a custom deal. So if you're going to have something made, you know, you're going to have that changed. And then if you do something like on the cover of your yearbook, and those things all have to be custom designed. So you're talking about a very, very exorbitant amount of money that would go into a name change that the taxpayers are going to have to end up forking over.
Right. That's another thing that I don't know if you have found out about it yet, but when this whole thing broke back in October of 2015, when the group came in and started going after Napa, had to change it. There was a bond issue that was coming up right at that time. And I have to hand it to the administrators in the school district understood that if they were to attack that Indian name before they had the election on the bond, they probably wouldn't have gotten the bond passed. It passed narrowly as it was. But now, they're into where they have to have more money. And it obviously, they may even have to spend the money that they were raising for that bond issue. And then what do you think they're going to do? Next time they have an election, they're going to have another bond issue come up. Well, that's where they don't understand that the power behind the alumni who are going to be after them when it comes to trying to get another bond issue going. They're not going to be able to get it passed if they're even still employed there, because there's been talks of recall anyway. But that's getting pretty nasty, and they don't want to get there. What they want to do is you want to get to the point where everybody understands that the Indian is not a big deal to have people come after it, especially with what's going on in the community now. So I just think that they need to look at it deeper, and the Indian needs to remain. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate you guys for doing what you're doing, almost as much as Joanna Hummingbird is a classmate of mine, and I'm sure she is called in. And I contacted her when this whole thing broke, because I knew that she was Indian. And I didn't know which side of the fence she'd fall on, but she came down with us, and she's probably been pushing this bigger than anybody, and she lives in Illinois. So
yeah.
That's how powerful it can get with social media.
No, most definitely, Terry. And, Joanna I would love to have her there in Napa with you guys, because it would be a whirlwind, and the Cal Berkeley wouldn't even know what hit them. So it's awesome to hear the passion coming from Napa, because there are a lot of schools out there that have just kind of rolled over and said, well, all right, well, I guess we are this or we are that. And, the beating drum was unable to get there in time and help them. So it's nice to be in the beginning of the fight with your guys' school.
Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. And keep up the good work with everything that you're doing. And what team is it that you're rooting for in the NIT?
It wasn't the NIT. It was the University of North Dakota Fighting Sioux, who lost 4-3 in the playoffs for going to the Frozen Four.
Oh, okay. Well, my wife was born in North Dakota, so I'll have to break that to her before dinner.
All right, Terry. Again, thank you so much for calling in, and have a terrific weekend, sir.
Okay, thank you. You too.
You're welcome.
Bye.
All right, Steve. Again, that call-in number is 646-668-8467. We got one more caller, LaVon. LaVon, you are live with Farmer and Steve on the Beating Drum Radio Show on RadioAFS.com, BlogTalk.com, Fatboy Media, DRCP Army. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing really, really well. How are you, kiddo?
That's awesome to hear.
Hey, remember when we were talking before, you told me to look up Chief Dan George? Can you hear me?
What was the question?
I said, remember when we were talking before, you told me to look up Chief Dan George?
I remember telling you about Chief Joseph.
Chief Joseph? Okay,
uh-huh.
I looked someone. I just want to read this to you. I
okay.
posted this on our page today. This is from him. It says, if you talk to the animals, they will talk to you, and you will know each other. If you do not talk to them, you will not know them. And what you do not know, you will fear. What one fears, one destroys. So I wonder if they just don't, if the people who are coming in just don't understand how adamant we are about keeping our heritage. Maybe they don't understand that we're not doing anything offensive. We would never offend anyone.
What's really interesting about this whole thing is that there's a huge aspect of hypocrisy and contradiction that is at play, that these protesters on the other side doesn't even realize that they're playing into. And they come in and they say, you're offending us, you're making us feel insignificant, you're demeaning our culture and you're furthering the eradication of our history. And I'm like, wait a second, you're coming in and telling someone that they need to completely wipe out any relevance to Native Americans,
right.
any relation
right.
to
What's
it.
That
they need to change it all. And then you scream and preach about inclusivity. You want everybody to be an equal playing field. But then they come in and tell you that we're superior to you. We're telling you you need to change it and do away with it. Well,
yeah,
where's
basic.
The inclusivity in that? You're
right.
you're excluding schools. You're selectively targeting schools. That's not inclusive. That's very exclusive.
No.
When you're only targeting a very specific group of schools based on race, I mean,
right.
that's racial profiling. And
totally.
Some would say that that's, you know, arguing semantics, but it's not. How's it any different than selectively looking at a person based on skin color and saying he's guilty of some sort of crime? Well, that's what they're doing here is saying, here's a school with a Native American name and imagery. They're demeaning culture, and we need to go after them full force.
Yeah, I don't think they really realize how important this is to us and how much we respect Indian culture and history. And we did a TV show the other night with Doris Gentry.
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
I watched every bit of it.
Anyway, there are several in our group who are of Indian descent, and they're emotional about keeping this. They don't want to lose this. You know, even
yeah.
the one, the Melanie said, you know, don't tell me how I should believe. I don't. That's not right. And she's not even a graduate of Napa High. Her kids go to Napa High. She was a graduate of Vintage. But she loves it that we have an Indian symbol. She's
right.
proud of that. And her kids are proud of that. So don't. And I understand how she's feeling. Don't tell me how I need to believe. You know, I'm an American Native. I'm a Native American Indian. Don't tell me how to believe. I, you know, and she was emotional about that. And so was Dewey Green. You know, these people coming in to try and take this away from us don't understand what they're up against. I mean, and I don't know that our board really understands either. We'll find out on the 6th, but
right.
we have 2,179 votes on our petition to save the symbol, plus another 900 in a handwritten petition that's been out. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
a fairly
you know, we're
community.
Talking almost, what, over 3,000 people, right?
Yes.
At?
Yes.
And for people that don't know that what we're talking about, there was a show that happened. It was you had to have clicked on a special link to be able to watch the show. It was like public access was on the internet, where there was seven people, six being from Napa, one being from outside of Napa, who came on and talked and basically stood up for, you know, respecting the name and why it was important that they kept it. And LaVon was on there, and our previous caller, he was also on there, correct?
Terry?
Yeah.
No, he was, you mean on at the TV station?
Correct.
No, Terry wasn't there. No. But he's active with the group, but he wasn't at the TV station.
Gotcha.
Ken Juan was there, and Dennis Henry was there. Mike Green, Marshall was there, and then of course Glenn Ellen Smith, myself, and Melanie. Yeah. No,
that
Terry's
was pretty
very
awesome.
Active, very supportive. Terry's a member of the alumni.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But there's a lot of Napa people that don't want to see this happen, and I hope the superintendent and our principal and the board understand this. You know, perhaps they will on the 6th. They've had to move the meeting from a regular classroom where they normally have the board meetings to the high school auditorium. So we want to fill it. And let them,
you'll probably
and let
have
them
some spillover.
Yeah, I'd like to create the biggest parking nightmare in Napa High School has ever seen. just get everyone down there.
Right? And you know, LaVon, what would be awesome, and the Pawpaw Michigan actually did it for the beating drum. On the 6th, they actually went live on the Beating Drum Radio Show Facebook page and got close to, I believe it was 40,000 views on it. So we will have to work together with your guys' Facebook page and group and see if we can get somebody with a smartphone to actually live stream or broadcast live on the Beating Drum Radio Show page and let the world see what's going on there in Napa.
Oh, wow. We would love to do that.
So we will definitely talk with you know, with you and other people there in Napa and see if we can make that happen.
Absolutely. Let me find out. Glenn Ellen knows about things like that. Maybe she can help us find someone that
can
do that. Thank
Alrighty.
You.
Is there anything else that you want to say to the family and friends of the Beating Drum Radio Show?
Other than please be physically there on April the 6th at 4:00. It's so important that this board sees people, you know, not just signatures, not just letters, but Napa in force, standing up and saying, hey, we're not going to stand for this. You know, when you see this, when you see 500-600 people looking at you saying, don't you dare change this. It's different than just getting a letter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's power.
Most definitely.
There's power in numbers. Hmm?
There most definitely is. And LaVon, you know, we say this almost on every show. It's time to get off the couch, get off out of your lazy boy, and put the feet to pavement and stand up for what's right.
Please come and do that. You know, I put a little note out and said, please get out from behind your computers and your cell phones, and please show up on the steps of the high school on the 6th. It's so very, very important. We'll see. I hope just everybody comes and signs the petition. That
Most
would
definitely.
Be awesome.
Just yes,
stay on them. Keep pushing.
Stay on them.
We are. We're trying our best.
All right, LaVon. Again, thank you so much for calling in and have
you.
A terrific evening and an awesome weekend.
Thank you. You have a great weekend, too.
You too. Bye-bye. I think she wanted to say something. Sorry, LaVon. I believe I cut you off.
That's okay. I was just saying goodbye. You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm a little trigger happy there, Steve. I apologize. And you know what I want to bring up, and the show's running close on time, but there is another article, another issue going on there in Napa. And what that is about a high school coach where the school board is actually focusing on the removal of this particular coach and retiring or him leaving the program. So in my eyes here, Steve, they're not giving the Indians a symbol logo 100% of their dedication of their time. They're really, really focusing on this one particular coach and kind of pushing a very, very hot topic of a symbol and a name to the wayside, which in my eyes, definitely, you know, you need to tackle both of these with due diligence and not put one over the other.
Diligence.
Yeah, that one too. It's a farmerism.
Yeah. You know, this is just another example of how the mainstream media cannot be trusted to do the right thing anymore because they're so biased in their position. And they know because the media is never on the side of the ones who are wanting to preserve and protect. They're on the side of the ones who want to do away with. And basically, you know, perform like a castration on cultural, you know, society's cultures. They want to just clip it and go on and make everybody a bunch of eunuchs, you know, so where there's no standing out amongst a crowd anymore. Everybody's just this pale face, you know, lurked in shadows. And that's really that's a really bleak future when you think about it. If we're going to go around and have people telling us we need to change school names because they don't like something, and then all of a sudden that school caves, then our future's not looking too good as a society goes. And
right, Steve,
we have to put an end to this.
Yeah, it's no different than what's going on there in Michigan, where the school board super, the big cheese that runs all the schools there in Michigan, he wants to pull funding from schools that have Native American names and images. You know, this is a form of racial profiling, racism to boot, because they're segregating out one race.
And when you say segregation, what does that mean? It means, someone is segregated, separated, and basically isolated away. So what could be more oppressing to a school when you come to them from, or I'm talking from a senator's standpoint or from a state legislative, governing body, they say, oh, we decided as the governors of the state of Michigan that if you're going to carry a Native American name, we're going to fine your school. I mean, that is so not even legal. It's not, because you're not breaking laws. You have the rights and protection of the First Amendment. Whether these protesters want to hear that and accept that for reality, that is fact and truth. First Amendment provides protection for these schools that are using Native American names. Now, for these senators in Michigan, they think that they've got this in the bag, but guess what? They don't, because it's coming for them. They think they're going to walk clean in this, and they're not, because it's about to get dirty. I promise you.
I agree with you, Steve, 100%. It looks like we got Ernie. Ernie, you're live with Farmer and Steve. How are we doing tonight?
Oh, I'm here.
I'm still in the,
I don't know, complaint mode, you'd say. It just, to me, I think this whole politically correct BS is bringing this whole country down. And we just really got to get away from that and stop letting the few choose for the majority. It's crazy. So, like I said, this whole country's been going downhill since this politically correct stuff came along. And to me, it's just dead wrong. I mean, we've had this symbol over 125 years or something now that, because a couple of people want to come and complain now, well, that's no good anymore. And I'm saying that's BS. I just wish that we had other hearings on it so the public can put in or put it to a vote or just leave it the heck alone, We don't need this. We got too many things going on in this country to worry about whether a guy's got an Indian symbol or not on his high school. I'm going, oh, my gosh. Spending a lot of money doing nothing, but you got to fight when the fight's ready to fight, and we've been pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and I think the fight's going to start. We're going to start doing a recall, maybe, of these supervisors and school board members, and let's get them all the heck out of there if they can't have a vote for the people, then don't be in there just pushing your will off on us that don't want it.
And you know what, Ernie?
I tell that to people.
Yeah, Steve. You voted them in. They are supposed to be your voice. They're elected officials that are supposed to be listening to the people instead of pushing their own ideology, their own agendas, or their own. Not even their own, because I'm sure somewhere down the line, somebody's paying somebody. And that right there is just ridiculous by itself, Ernie.
Yeah, it sure is.
I think that, a good way to stem the tide of this political correctness, this, the liberal ideology that's gone astray, would be to stop sending children to these universities. these four-year universities. We talk like, you know, Berkeley or Harvard, you know, Yale, these places where you can't wear Halloween costumes because it offends somebody and it causes microaggression triggers. You know,
I got to have my face go to because you guys
– I don't believe in any of that crap. Such garbage. But if we were to stop sending our children to these places – and I don't have kids, but I'm just saying for the people listening that do, if you stop sending your children to schools, I like to call them indoctrination centers because that's exactly what they are.
Exactly.
Money. Giving them $4,000 a year per child. And start sending kids to somewhere who, you know, a school, maybe a community college, start them off, you know, somewhere, and send them somewhere with a good reputation rather than someone who is known to be the most informed in education. And I'm doing air quotations when I say that because it's all hyperbole, and it's not true anymore. At one point, Berkeley was the booming cultural center for free speech. What happened to that? Now anybody who is an open mind is absolutely targeted, and that's what you're seeing here. It's a breeding ground for hostility,
and
that's where it has to change.
All because of the liberals and the liberal attitude we have nowadays, and it just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of future are we going to have under that ideology where individuality is being taken away from us?
Exactly.
We're individuals. Can we not showcase who we are and what we're proud of and the things that we take pride in? When did that become a bad thing? When is that something that was so deplorable and, you know, horrible to stand behind?
Well, that's what I mean. They're getting into everybody's everything, and it's just it's wrong, you know? I don't like this guy over here because I got a bad haircut from mine. Let's everybody go protest.
Let's
against
riot.
Guy and riot, yeah. Oh, that was another thing. That's riot and BS like in Berkeley. I still think that George Soros is paying these groups to go around here and just cause trouble, but that's my opinion.
That's exactly what's going on. In your opinion, sir, and my opinion is that that's how these hate groups get started. That's how the not your mascot people can actually create all these, you know, signs and everything else like that is because they're actually being paid. Now, if you look at how much these decorative signs are and everything else like that, you know, they range from anywhere from $500 to $1,000. Now, I know that I don't have lying around an extra $500 to $1,000 to make a sign. So these hate groups have to be getting funding from somewhere and being paid to go out and demonstrate and cause a muck.
But because of the liberal press, they're never going to cover anything like that. And you got to keep the people non-informed. Got to go out and try to learn on your own somewhere else. And it's frustrating.
You know, I remember a time when being open-minded was a good thing, and now it's if you have an open mind, you're a target.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's really crazy because these, you know, groups that come in, like, you know, the people from Vallejo that are coming into Napa going, you know, we're offended, you need to change it. It's like, wait a minute, you live in this town. You're not even from here. You live ways away. What gives you the right to come in here and tell us how we need to live? Why can't you just live in your area, leave us alone, and not worry about us? We will handle ours. You take care of yours. But there's no more of that. Everybody's got to come over and bleed into it and tell people how to do it, you know?
There's only one person on the school board that's even attended Napa High. All the other guys, they don't have no interest or anything. Just whoever cries the loudest, and we're here doing our job to make everybody equal. I'm going, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, we just need everybody to get out there on that April 6th and be seen publicly. Get out there and you know.
I'll be there.
Show presence and be unified and stick together and not cower to these people. Don't back down for them. Go for them.
That's,
you know,
right.
Don't let them get away with it.
Because where is it going to end?
That's it.
Exactly, Ernie. Is there anything else that you want to say to our family and friends and get your final words in?
Oh, I just I trying to keep up with this as best I can through Facebook and different groups in Facebook, and I think as long as we keep that up so people know what's going on and where to meet, and just like I got a post here that this show was on right now. I didn't even know it was on until I called in, and so I was grateful for that.
Yeah, definitely, Ernie. Go to the type there on your Facebook. Just type in the Beating Drum Radio Show and press like, and then every time we post something, it'll pop up in your news feed. Or you can also go to blogtalkradio.com/radioAFS and give that a follow. And then if you have an email, it'll actually email to let you know that the Beating Drum is live, and you can press the link to listen, or give us a call and chop it up with us.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right, Ernie. Again, thank you so much for calling into the show, and you have yourself a terrific evening.
And you guys too. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, Steve, the lines just keep popping and hopping. Definitely give us a call at 646-668-8467. We got Candace, another graduate from 1966. Candace, you're live with Farmer and Steve. What's going on tonight?
Well, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. And
you're very welcome.
It's been a great show. And my heart is full tonight hearing from all our Napa alumni that are supporting to save the Indian symbol. But what I wanted to say is, Steve, thank you for pointing out the timing issue. That is a real concern to me at this time, because the school board is dealing with a couple very serious issues. I'm afraid, I'm concerned that our Indian symbol is not going to be getting the full attention and consideration that they deserve right now. That saying, timing is everything. And the older I get, the more I realize how important timing is. And I know that the Indians have had to come together, because I think time was getting late, and they knew that something was going to be happening soon. So everyone banded together, and they've been going gung-ho on this issue to save our Indian. But then other things happened in the meantime, which no one can ever foresee. So we're there. We want to band together. We want to show that we want this Indian symbol. But it just worries me that the timing issue,
right?
Because they have bigger fish to fry right now, and it worries me that they're not going to really, you know, look at us seriously and consider the Indian symbol. I'm concerned that maybe they've already made up their minds, is what I'm concerned about.
Well, let me jump in here and real quickly for everybody that's listening. The show will probably cut off here in about 1 minute. We only had it set up for an hour show, but we have a lot of people that called in. Okay, so if the show cuts off, the show will be available. It'll continue going. You'll just be able to listen back on podcast form. Okay, so
okay.
If it cuts off on you, not you. You're fine. Just for the listeners that are listening, but it'll keep going. So anyway, yeah, timing is always the biggest problem. And a lot of times when we get involved, we're always like 4 weeks behind. We'll get an email going, hey, you guys need to check out this school. And then we come to find out they've already had meetings and they're getting ready to vote in 3 weeks. And it's like, we're always behind the eight ball. And a lot of times that's intentionally set up by the school board committees, because they don't want it to drag out. They want to get it over with because they know that this is a very tumultuous issue and that they know that they face a lot of repercussions if they go against what the community wants. And I've seen that firsthand. I talk about this a lot. You know, I worked with a school out here in Oklahoma, and there was a school board member who outright said, I am voting against this name and I will push to get rid of this. And they also had a superintendent who felt the exact same way, who said, I will fight this to get rid of it. And when it came time to the vote, the community ended up keeping their name. Their school board voted, you know, in a pretty substantial way that they ended up keeping the name. But very quickly, the community fought back against those two people. And they voted that one lady out. She's no longer with the school district. She's gone. And they were able to cancel the contract that they had with the superintendent, and they were able to replace him. So there are repercussions that can happen against school board members who refuse to do their duties, which is holding up the community's overall well-being. And that's what you're seeing here.
Well, earlier it was mentioned that maybe this was a tactic to diminish our cause. Well, I don't think really that is so.
It's hard to say.
I think it's just the sequence of events that you know, that occurred, and we happened to be caught up in that sequence of events because the time was getting late, and we learned that things were happening in regard to our symbol, and we needed to do something now. So I don't really feel like it was. This is a tactic to diminish what we're doing right now.
I don't think it's hard to say, you know, because you're trying to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and you're not really sure where they're going. But you know, definitely timing is a thing. It's like, okay, now you have what, a little over. Maybe 2 weeks, a little less,
yeah.
A little more. It's kind of hard to say. But the thing is that don't let timing and the amount of time that you have until April 6th, don't let that deter you and make you feel as if you have no way of making a change. You can great change in that little bit of time.
It won't.
It just takes the right people to do the work.
Right. It won't, but it just is that it happens at a time when there are other serious things that the board's having to consider, you know, at the same time. So it won't diminish the passion and the commitment that is already, the momentum that is already built up. It won't do that, but it is a concern about what they're faced with in other avenues. And there will always be other issues. I realize that, you know, the board will always have other issues on their hands, but sometimes they're not as serious as what's going on at the same time as what we're trying to do also.
Right.
So anyway, and also I might mention that to my understanding, there was only one board member elected. The rest were appointed. And it's true what Ernie said. There was only one board member that was actually a Napa High graduate. So, you know, that's kind of disheartening there because, you know, they don't have the passion that we have to keep our icon, our Indian symbol icon. So,
right.
That's kind of like a strike against us right there. So,
You know, it's not so much a strike. It's just it's room for improvement.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like I said, this is not the end all be all here. You know what I mean? Like there is room to work with this. You guys have some really great people that are doing multiple things. I can tell you from experience and talks, there are people that are doing a lot of good work. So, you know, for all the people listening out there in Napa, you got to be at that meeting April 6th. And I know it's tough because people say, I've got this going on and I have plans. You know what? Put those plans off. Make one night all about your school.
Yeah.
Put those things off to the side. You know what? Your kids will have more basketball games to go to. You know, you can go on more dates with your husband, but go out and stand up for this, because if it truly is important to you, and it is, because we have all these people calling in, I can tell you the board is full of calls right now. And that shows that this is important.
Yeah.
We're doing a whole show on this one school. I mean, that's how important this is and how significant this is.
Right.
So make that sacrifice.
Well, isn't that awesome? And it just makes me so much more proud to be a Napa High alumni and an Indian from Napa High. My heart is bursting, and I'm so proud to be part of that alumni. So I just want to give a shout out to you and Farmer and Kat and Jacob. You've been wonderful. You've been very supportive. I caught your show on Tuesday. It was very informative. Thank you so much. It's been great. You've given us some real good tips.
Well, we appreciate it. You know, for whatever questions or concerns anybody may have, you know, you can always email us or send us a message on the Facebook page, or, you know, find us on Twitter. You can send a message to the beating drum at twitter.com for anybody that uses that Twitter thing. I don't use it, but, you know, there are people that send us messages and say, hey, you know, what do we do here? And we appreciate all the good feedback. FYI, Farmer and Jacob, they're the same guy. So it's the same person. But,
Jacob is also known as Farmer.
Farmer's it's like his stage name.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay.
I tried to give me a stage name and I said, I don't want it. So
that's too funny. Okay.
Yeah,
now I learned something again tonight.
There you go. See, we're always educating people.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, right? Knowledge is power.
Education, all
right. Well, thank you guys so much.
All right. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So, Farmer had off, so I'm running the show from now on, guys. We have one more call. We'll go ahead and put this caller live because he's been waiting for a few minutes. And then we'll see if we have any more people call in. All right. Let's go to Mr. Dewey. Dewey, are you there?
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Look,
hey, how's it going?
Thanks so much for having me on tonight.
No, appreciate it. Appreciate you holding for a little few minutes until we got you.
No, it was no problem. I liked hearing what the previous callers had to say, but I want them to know that because of the timing on this, I feel it's going to work to our advantage. We are working with the other two groups that the previous caller had mentioned, and we're going to tie this in with us, with the mascots symbol situation.
Right.
And so it's going to unite not only the school and, like, what everybody has been telling you guys, the community is getting up in arms, past alumni, out-of-state alumni. Joanna Hummingbird Kitchens has been really instrumental in living in Illinois, and just Facebook has been going nuts because of her, and we just appreciate it. And I, just to assure people here in Napa, and I live in Napa, there's a lot of work being done behind the scene. And committees are formed. We're trying to get this rally organized. There's going to be a rally. We just want to organize the rally and make sure we're saying the right things. And when we go into that meeting, they have switched from the little room to the auditorium at Napa High School, that it's organized, it's respectful, but it's also, and we know it's going to be emotional on both sides, and that's fine. Yeah, you can be emotional, just don't go over the line.
Right. I think that the fact that they were in a position where that, you know, your school had to change the venue from a normal sized room to an auditorium tells you that you've actually hit a very raw nerve here, because this is something that's so passionate, you know, as far as people go, that, you know, now you have so many people showing up that they've had to expand on where they're going to hold this, because there's so many people that are anticipated to show up. That shows that you've actually hit a very strong nerve as far as the community goes, that this is something people really strongly believe in.
Well, you know, thank you for that. And it digs deep into this community, because
right.
the alumni, and it's not, you know, I hear so much about it. It's, you know, the sports teams and this and that. It, you know, I want to tell you guys, I was an athlete at Napa High, but it hits to the bone on so many people that were not athletes. There were so many more people that went to Napa High that did not play athletic.
Right.
Yet, and this lady that just called, and I'm not sure about Ernie, your previous caller, I don't know, you know, he was involved in athletics. But see what I mean? It just goes to the very core of, and you guys know from the schools that you went to, you know, how you felt, you know, how I felt just being proud to wear the Indian name on a jersey, how proud I felt going to Napa High every day, walking around the campus and talking to everybody. You know, it's not like, I don't want to glorify Napa too much, because it was our school, but I will do it somewhat in that.
Glorify away.
Well, it's uniting people.
Absolutely.
From various classes. We have emails from, there's a lady who is 95 years old, still kicking, had enough in her to type an email and send it to one of our committee members, and it will be read. There's a picture that I posted on Facebook today of a I graduated in 71, but my brother's friend, who graduated in 1965, is involved with this reservation and actually lives on the reservation Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of every week down near San Diego, comes back to Napa every week, back and forth, and doing some help on the reservation. There's a picture. I don't know if you guys have heard, but we had some T-shirts made. It says Napa Indians Forever, and it's got a picture of the symbol that is on. And I don't know if anybody else has told you this either, but on the floor in the old Napa High School building is this symbol of this Indian with a feather that when we went to school every day, nobody walked on that.
Right.
Everybody, and it was a big school, and my class was 1,000. There was when I was in school, it was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. So 1,000 basically in each class. It was a pretty big school for only having three grades. But nobody walked on that symbol. And it wasn't, I want to tell you, it was because of the respect for the Indian people and for that symbol being on the floor and what it meant to everybody. So this picture that I was talking about a couple minutes ago, they're holding this shirt. It's my friend Bill Copeland and Jim Thorpe's grandson. So now we're talking about arguably the greatest American athlete ever. His grandson
right.
has no problem with Napa High using the symbol Indians, as long as we don't, you know, the tomahawk chop and whatever that Atlanta and Cleveland do, you know, is what they do.
Well, they don't do that anymore.
Of it.
Yeah, that's actually
been
done away with. That was done away with. Cleveland never did that. That was Atlanta's thing. But Atlanta did away with that somewhere, I think, in the late 90s.
Yeah, they were the ones that kind of got this thing going with everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Cleveland, I know that they're having a problem with a moniker on the hat. You know, that the Indian picture. I don't even know if they've done away with that.
Chief Wahoo, he's still around. You're talking to the lifelong, diehard Cleveland Indians fan. And you know, when you talk about,
good thing,
you know,
we didn't talk during the World Series then.
I know you're a big Cubs fan.
And everybody goes, oh, you jumped on a bandwagon. And I would just tell everybody, yeah, I did. I jumped on a bandwagon in 1958 when my dad took me to my first game at Wrigley. So
I saw you on the show the other night. I watched it. I remember you talking about that.
Oh, you did. Okay. So you were able to see that. So,
you say when you were talking earlier about how proud people are coming from this school, and, you know, we've heard it from all different callers. They say, you know, there's this high level of respect and you couldn't wait to get to that school to become a Napa Indian. And you feel a certain sense of pride. Now, my high school that I went to, I grew up in Houston, Texas, and I live in Oklahoma City now, but my school, it was just an everyday run-of-the-mill high school. We had a Ram. That was our school. You know, we were the Maid Creek Rams. And it wasn't really something that a lot of people rallied behind because it was just like, it's whatever. It's a Ram. But being a lifelong Cleveland Indians fan, that was a huge part of my upbringing and how my dad raised me as a child. He said, you know, we are Cleveland Indians fans. That's how we do it in our family, and we respect it and we honor it and we wear it proudly. And 5 years ago, I was able for the first time in my life to travel to Cleveland to go to an Indians game. And normally I'm very like extroverted here on the show, but in real life, I'm very introverted, very kind of shy and reserved. But there I felt like I belonged because wearing an Indians hat or wearing that Indians jersey, people were just accepting you in with open arms. Like, you're a part of the family. Come be here with us. And I never experienced it in high school, seeing that there, how I was admitted and accepted into the Indians family there. I totally relate to how you guys feel about your school, you know, and your symbol. And that's great because that's a great thing to be a part of. There's probably no better feeling than that.
Let me liken it to this. It would be like when your mom and dad got home at night and all of a sudden